Ты дура, ты дура, ты явно в голове не мозги, это точно. Говоришь, бы хотела принцессы у коридора Питова, снова ты стоишь. Но ты дура, ты дура, ты явно в голове не мозги, это точно.
Hello and welcome to Skeleton Factory here on Patreon. This is Adam. It is the evening time, and I'm joined once again by Vanessa. Hi, Vanessa.
Hello.
We had movie night tonight, didn't we? We went out to the theater, saw a movie in a theater, in a disgusting theater. Actually, it wasn't that bad, but we'll get to that later. Well, we went to go see the new Eli Roth film, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was initially a trailer during the Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez film, the Grindhouse films, which was Death Proof and Planet Terror. And let's see, there was trailers for, well, Thanksgiving. That was a fake trailer and ended up getting turned into a real trailer. There was
Fu Manchu.
Oh yes, that was from Rob Zombie's Werewolf Women of the SS. Maybe that'll get made into a real movie someday. There was Don't, made by Edgar Wright, who did all the, you know, does all the British movies with Simon Pegg. He does. What was the other ones? There was Machete. Machete got turned into a movie.
Machete.
And it's two movies. And Hobo with a Shotgun, that got turned into a movie. Yeah. Which I reviewed on episode... Blah, 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 blah.
They're clearly trying to do all of them.
They're trying to do all of them. But...
I don't know if the Hitler one will fly, though, because people are real
Werewolf
sensitive.
Women of the SS? Sure, I think... Yeah, why not?
I mean,
I think Rob Zombie would get a pass because he's Rob Zombie.
Possibly, yeah.
You know, it's not like he makes crowd pleasers. Yeah. What's he going to do, like draw the line at Nazis? I don't think so.
People are a little about Hitler, you know?
Yeah. The biggest understatement of all time. People are a little about Hitler. That's true. The people are a little about Hitler. But...
He's just misunderstood, you know?
So Thanksgiving, Hitler wasn't in Thanksgiving. It'd be kind of cool if he was. Spice it up a little bit. But, so, let me see. What happened in Thanksgiving? It takes place in the fictional town of Plymouth. Plymouth, what was it? Plymouth Town? Something like that, Massachusetts.
Plymouth, Mass. I think just Plymouth.
Yeah, it was just Plymouth, Massachusetts. Well, actually, that's a real place.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought it was called like Plymouth Town or Plymouth Field or something like that.
Maybe you saw a sign or something, but it's just Plymouth.
Maybe I was falling asleep in my chair. But yes. So it's.
You were about to throw down in your chair. Is what was about to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I was getting a little wild in the theater. I almost had to beat up an entire family, but So the movie opens up and it's Black Friday, which is the day after Thanksgiving, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So
supposed to be.
But it kicks off at like midnight, which I didn't understand because in the movie it started at like 6. Or something?
Okay, now that you say that, so yes, typically it's the day after Thanksgiving, yeah. But they started it early?
They started it early, like really, like the night of Thanksgiving, it seemed like.
Yeah.
So, it was a little confusing.
Yeah, because the mother was like making dinner.
Oh, no, it was the night of Thanksgiving.
And then she like, the dad was like, oh, I have to head in. They're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And then she ended up bringing him a plate, like, to his work.
Yeah. First of all, I knew something was up because we're immediately introduced to two homes that are celebrating Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. There's just way too many people, and everyone's saying each other's name like too much. I think to like compensate for like the audience is not going to remember all these people's faces, which I assumed wouldn't really matter because it's a horror movie and most of these people are going to get fucking killed probably. But we get regular house where Patrick Dempsey, who you'll remember from the 80s movie Lover Boy, where he plays a pizza delivery guy who becomes a gigolo in order to go to college or something. Lover Boy, watch that. You guys will like that. So Patrick Dempsey goes to, I don't even understand whose house he's going to. Is that his ex-wife's house?
I don't know. It seemed like they had like a little past history, or he had a crush on her or something like that.
Some shit.
She seemed way older than him, though.
Yeah, they,
he's a police officer.
Yeah, they go to the house, and you know, he goes over to their house for Thanksgiving. That's kind of where the final girl character is, and you can tell she's the final girl, you know, because she's like not wearing any makeup and she's kind of wholesome, and her family's like very middle class. And then we cut to the other family, which is very, like a rich family. They have a very nice house. Everyone's all bitter and rich at each other.
No, she was at the rich house.
She was at the rich house. Who was at the fucking...
So the final girl chick, the brunette, her dad is that ugly dude with the fucking mustache.
Is that what it was? Well, who was at the poor house?
I don't fucking remember any of these people's names.
Well, basically, they just introduce all the characters. They've introduced like 25 characters like very quickly. And
yeah, the final girl, yeah. Her dad is the guy with the mustache, and
yeah,
his wife is like the stepmom, and right. She really doesn't like her.
Yeah, they basically, he owns sort of the local equivalent to like what would be like,
it's supposed to be Walmart. Yeah. They call it Rite Mart.
Yeah, I don't recognize a lot of the people in this. I recommend the dad with the weird teeth and he's bald. His name is Rick Hoffman. I've seen him in other things. And let's see, the girl, I guess Jess, everyone calls her Jess, Jessica. Her name is Nell Verlacke. She needs to get a better stage name. That's a terrible stage name. What would we know her from? Let's see. What was she in before Thanksgiving?
I've never seen that bitch in anything before.
Yeah.
I don't think she was.
She was.
If she was in anything, I don't think it was really relevant.
She was in something called The Marijuana Conspiracy.
Oh, that sounds promising.
A TV show called Bowl and something called Zoo. Wasn't Zoo that Mr. Hands pedophile people fucking animals documentary?
I believe it was. Me. I think so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she's kind of the main girl in this. So anyways, it's Black Friday, kind of. Well, no, it's Thanksgiving. And everybody, it's
the night before.
It's like the biggest town Black I've ever Friday. Seen. And there's like millions of people show up to It seemed like millions. Rite Mart. That's what they were called. It was called Rite Mart. And they get
that shit really does happen at Walmart. There was a
I know
that pregnant woman that was trampled at Walmart.
I didn't say it never happened. I'm just saying there was just way too many people for a small town. I'm like, that's way too many people, and they have to hold people back with like barricades. It's like a festival. It looks like a music festival or something, and it's all being held back by comedian Tim Dillon. Mm-hmm. And Tim Dillon's like the only security guard holding back this like 50,000 people trying to get into Rite Mart. And I'm already like, what was it? Jess gets picked up by her friends. And
Jess and her boyfriend.
And I thought they were all like in college.
Well, Jess is at her house with the boyfriend. The dad has to take off to work. And they stay behind.
Yeah.
And then... I'm mixing up these two fucking families.
I'm calling them the poor family. They're not poor, but the regular middle class family. The dad works at Wright Martin. He gets called in to go work. Jess meets up with her with all her friends, and as soon as you get into the car with them, you look at them. They're wearing like Letterman jackets, and there's Letterman jacket black guy. There's ditzy blonde girl. You know, you're like, oh, all these people are going to get murdered.
And they're like listening to shitty music. You're like, yeah,
all gonna die. These are all the people who are going to get killed. And, so they go over to Wright Mart.
Well, they're supposed to be going somewhere else. And he's like, I have to get like a phone charger. Something dumb as hell.
No. They were supposed to go to the movies, but they're like, I have to go buy a phone.
The guy was saying he had to buy a phone or a charger or something like that.
The main jock kind of douchebag character is like, I have to go buy an entire phone.
And they're like, why?
On Thanksgiving at this place where there's like 50 million people trying to get in.
Worst time ever.
Yeah. And because they, I guess it's her, somebody's dad or somebody, they know the guy who had to go to work at Wright Mart. So they get to like go into the back door and kind of go shopping first. And it's because they got to go in first that it pissed off
all the people outside.
And they ended up fucking like storming the store.
Breaking the fucking door down.
And yeah. Everything,
breaking the glass.
Jess and her boyfriend's name is Bobby. Okay. There's too many red herrings in this movie. Like, they set it up where everyone's a red herring. Like, every single person.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
I don't think it's a bad thing, but they're literally, like, everyone. Everyone seemed like a red herring. And it was like, I'm like, ooh, this movie's trying to overcompensate for the fact that the killer, it's pretty obvious who the killer is. Because they're going out of their way to make it not obvious. At least that's what I thought. I got about... Now that I think about it, I got like less than 5 minutes into the movie and I was like, oh, that guy's obviously the killer.
You always know who it is. I'm dumb. I didn't know who it was.
Yeah, let's see. I can't read my writing and on my notes because I was writing them in the dark. Not only did the crowd like get through the doors, they literally like knock the doors down, and not like because they're like, you know, they're like sliding. Weren't they swinging doors? They were like, you know, radio Walmart doors,
and they were not like, automatic doors. They were glass doors. They're not sliding.
That you push open
a glass door.
Yeah,
they were all locked.
They were locked, and they knocked them down like the drawbridge on a castle, which is like doesn't seem like something that could ever happen. Everyone
was like pushing at the same time.
Yeah, everyone riots into the place,
and then there was like a shard of glass that was like broken.
There was an insurrection at Wright Mart,
and this guy that like ran in it like sliced his neck open.
Yeah, people are beating up people with like toaster ovens and.
Well, they were all trying to get some waffle iron that was in it. I guess that was the hot item.
For some reason. Yeah, and let's see.
So everyone's like fighting each other trying to get to the fucking waffle irons and all that.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be some sort of thing of like some sort of satire of consumerism is bad and wrong, and that was going to be sort of a running theme.
But no, I don't think they really needed to say it. They did already.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying it was a running... I thought it was going to be a running theme, and it wasn't. They were like, oh, no, that's just in the beginning. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, that could have been used for the killer's motivation, perhaps, later, which it kind of was, sort of.
I think it was.
What was it? Oh, yeah, Gina Gershon... She's the She was the lady who, I guess, she got killed. She was the guy who worked at Wright Mart's wife. And she ends up getting trampled by a bunch of people. And something happens where her scalp gets ripped off somehow.
Yeah, she got knocked down. She started crawling towards something. A cart came and like smashed her head. And then her hair got caught in the wheel of the cart and ripped like a part of her skin and hair off. And then she just like died.
Yeah.
I'm like, how the fuck are you going to die just by getting hit in the head with a cart?
Yeah, that if you got partially skinned, that wouldn't kill you. It didn't kill Tom Hardy in The Revenant.
Well, she was already, like, on the ground, like, dead before her hair got ripped off. It was stupid.
Yeah, and so it's just pure madness.
And one of the guys with, the varsity jacket, he's, like, standing on top of the
register.
And he's recording the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, of course.
You didn't talk about how when they're first walking up to the place, the main character, Jess, runs into, like, some guy that I guess has, like, a crush on her.
Oh, yeah, Ryan. And the thing about Ryan is Ryan's, like, 35 years old. But all these guys are supposed to be in high school. And I was like, are these guys supposed to be
college? Oh, they always do that.
They do, but I'm like, isn't that kind of played out at this point?
Well, anyway, so she runs into this guy that apparently like has a crush on her, and he starts getting he's already acting a little like possessive, and he's like, "Come on," just grabs her hand, and she's like, "I'm here with my boyfriend," kind of a thing, and he's just like, "Come on, let's do this," and blah blah blah, kind of like guiding her, and then her boyfriend walks up, and he's like, "Hey, like leave her alone, like she's with me."
Yeah.
And so that kind of already starts their little rivalry.
Yeah. Apparently the Ryan guy, he's 22 years old. He looks really old. He looks like he's David Schwimmer's age. He looks very old. Patrick Dempsey goes crazy. He's the sheriff, and he like pulls his, was something a cop would never do. It's like pull your gun out and just fire a gun inside of a store to like stop the rioting from happen. I don't think that would really, that's not really a thing a cop would do, but let me see.
So there's like a few fatalities in there.
Yeah. So, and Bobby, but they said that Bobby was supposed to be like a hot shot, like baseball pitcher. And Bobby, is like, he falls down from the mob running inside of Wright Mart, and somebody like steps on his arm and just fucking completely breaks his arm.
Yeah, they like twist it from stepping on it one time. It was so stupid.
Yeah, because you know those 18-year-olds with bad bone density. You know,
It's like he was laying on the ground, his arm was like extended out, and it's like someone just stomped on his fucking wrist like super hard, and it like twisted it.
Yeah, and that's and then so once that's over, we fast forward a year back to Thanksgiving again, and you know there's the family that owns Wright Mart. They're part of a big Thanksgiving Day float parade thing, and in Plymouth, I guess the guy who was like one of the main dudes. That brought the, you know, one of the main pilgrims that came to America. His name was John Carver. So that's basically their founding father. That's like the killer in the movie is like a guy in a John Carver mask. It's kind of V for Vendetta ish kind of looking outfit. But there's a local diner where they're actually giving away these like John Carver, like they look like Halloween masks. And I don't know why anyone would wear that. Like who's really stoked about the 400th anniversary of
Massachusetts? Because they're always about their history over there.
Yeah. Anything that's white and is celebrated. That's why I love Massachusetts so much.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Are you one of those Santa's black people? Is that you?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just letting you talk.
I think you're one of those Santa's can be black people. Santa's white. I don't know how to break that down any simpler for people. Santa is white. And John Carver is also white because pilgrims are white. And so we fast forward a year. And now there's a killer. They kind of just jump right into just killing people, which is great. The body count is fairly high in this movie. You're
skipping some stuff.
Did I skip anything important? I don't feel like I did.
So Jess, it fast forward and Jess is no longer with, what's his name, Bobby?
Yeah, Bobby just ghosted her.
Yeah, so apparently
Bobby. And they don't show or explain that. They
explain it later.
They're like, oh, Bobby disappeared. And everyone's like, anyways.
No, he explains it later.
Kinda.
No, he did. He said after his injury, he was mad at her because it was her fault that they even went to that place, that they even went to the store in the first place. So he was upset, and his whole, like, baseball career or whatever.
It's like, where did he go?
Was ruined. I don't know. His whole career was ruined, so he, like, took off and ghosted everyone.
Which is, okay, here's what's weird about that. That's why I was like, is this high school or college? Because in college, it's probably a little easier to, like, leave town, get rid of all your social media. No one sees you around anymore. But they're in high school. High school, you don't just ghost everybody. Like, people will see you around.
Well, he probably went with a fucking family member to another town or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
He was gone for, like, the summer. Anyway.
Maybe they explained it.
But she's now with the other guy who is his rival. She's now dating the other dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that happened, and then also it's been like a year anniversary since the big accident at Wright Mart, and there's someone that tagged all of that group of kids on a post of a Thanksgiving table, and when they zoom in, their names are on each of like the little name plates, and they're like, "That's weird." And then also all of the footage from that night is mysteriously gone.
Yeah. Which, like, again, sets up so many red herrings.
Yeah.
Which is why I think they got actor Rick Hoffman to play the guy, the dad who owns Wright Mart, because he's just creepy looking. And then they set up the Ryan character. They're like, he's like a red herring, but I'm like, that guy's taller than everyone else in the cast. He can't be the killer. Okay, so the killer ends up killing the diner waitress, the main diner, who was at Wright Mart the year before. So the killer's basically killing people who were involved in that riot from the following year. And the diner waitress was one of the people. So this lady named Lizzie. So it's like the end of the night and everyone's gone out of the diner. She's the last one there. She's closing down. And the John Carver slasher with the mask and the pilgrim hat and an axe appears inside the diner. And the first thing he does, he like surprises her, grabs her by the hair and dips her head into a sink that's filled with water for some reason. It's just, you know, I've worked in diners. Like, no one would just leave a sink full of water for any reason, really. And diner sinks are huge, like industrial sinks. That's like, they're like 20 gallons of water. So he dips her head in it, and you think, oh, maybe he's gonna drown her. But then he pulls her out. He opens up the freezer door and sticks her face to the door. And now her face is stuck there.
Which, that wouldn't happen. It's not cold enough to even do that. So it's like a walk-in.
It was
no one's face is getting stuck to a walk-in door.
It was. It looked more like a walk-in than a freezer. There are walk-in freezers, but I'm like, that seems.
But it's not cold enough for your face to stick to it.
But the point of that whole thing was just to see her try to pull her face off the door and her skin ripping off.
Yeah, all the kills were so ridiculous. It made no fucking sense in this movie.
And then she's able to get away from the killer and make it out to the parking lot. And she's trying to get to her car, but the killer is already in her car, which is weird. I don't know. Like, when she left the diner, was she like... like, where's my keys? Like, you could just get to your car and wonder where your keys are. Car turns on, headlights come on, and the John Carver slasher killer's in there and then runs her down. And I think she tries to jump into a dumpster.
Yeah.
And she only gets halfway in, and he just fucking crashes into her, chopping her in half at the waist, and so just her stupid legs. Her upper torso falls in the dumpster, and then her organs fucking fall out. So that's like the first kind of kill. And then after that, he ends up killing Tim Dillon, who was supposed to be doing security at Rite Mart the year before, but he did a very bad job. Like, as soon as the people started mobbing into the store, he kind of got scared and ran away. So he goes to Tim Dillon's apartment and, let's see, what did he do to Tim Dillon? He just chopped his head off, right?
He stabbed him with something, with like a turkey carving thing or something.
He stabbed, with an electric carving knife, which I'm like, did you sneak into his house, plug in an electric carving knife, and then stab him with it? Or perhaps it was battery powered? I don't know.
I don't think it was plugged in. I think he just stabbed him with it.
Yeah, stabbed him in the gut.
It wasn't making any sound. He just stabbed him.
It was making sound, though.
It was?
It was going like, dick, 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 and afterwards, and then he took, like, I guess, like some kind of like diamond cutting wire or something, wrapped around his head and just sliced his head off in one like smooth stroke.
So stupid.
And then he took his head in a duffel bag and left. But
and then he fed the cat before he left.
And then then the killer fed the cat before he left. He didn't feed him like Tim Dillon's brains or anything like that. He fed him, it looked like just cat food.
I know. I thought they were going to be ridiculous and give him part of his brain or something, but
yeah. So now it's like, okay, now we have very minor characters being killed just to make sure we have a nice juicy body count.
It's kind of cool seeing Tim Dillon get killed in a movie, though.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think he was just kind of happy to be there. I think I feel I could have used a little more Tim Dillon. Yeah. Like, I think they probably could have swapped out somebody. Like, they should have made Tim Dillon the deputy to the sheriff, Patrick Dempsey, because they just, but I understand why they had the deputy they did, because the guy looks like the dude who plays like Michael Myers and all the new Michael Myers movies, like this big, huge, fucking white guy, where you're like, maybe that guy.
Yeah, Tim Dillon is not no damn police officer. That motherfucker's fat.
That's what I'm saying. It'd be funny. Just fat guy in a
eating donuts, being typical fucking.
Yeah, I think that's a more clever red herring, where you're like, he wants everyone to think he's like this dopey fucking guy, but maybe at the end, maybe he's really smart and is just like, for some reason, I had to kill all you guys. But also, like, the deputy, they're like, oh, it's his first day. So it's just like, you have to be wary of somebody who just suddenly appears in town and right at the moment when a bunch of people are getting murdered. But yeah, I mean, Tim Dillon did a good job and as far as what he had to do, which wasn't a lot. There was one thing I noticed when they killed Lizzie. Okay, she was able to unstick her face from the freezer, inside of the freezer door, and she ran to like an office in the diner, and she closed the door behind her and locked it. And the camera, like there's like surveillance monitors on the desk, and there's a phone right there. Like the camera's like looking at a fucking phone. I'm like, why don't you just call the police? The phone's right there. And she doesn't.
There was multiple points in the movie where someone had a gun or something right next to them, and I'm like, well, why don't you just shoot them? But they didn't.
Yeah. Another thing that bothered me is the lead girl was way too tall. She was taller than all the she was taller than Bobby, and Bobby looked like a big guy, but standing next to her, he was like a very small man. I was like,
I did not notice that at all.
I did. I'm just like, this woman's way too tall. Like, they couldn't have Bobby stand on an apple box, make him look a little taller than her. I don't know.
I did not notice that.
Oh, there was like a weird thing where like Tim Dillon, when he's gonna get killed, he's in the process of leaving town. Looks like he's leaving town very suddenly. He packs a bag, he's getting his passport, and he's saying that he's going to the Dominican Republic, which was odd. There was like a Dominican Republic like baseball cap in his bedroom. And I want, actually,
let me. He had a Puerto Rican flag.
He did have a Puerto Rican flag. Is that, I was like, is that the Dominican flag or Puerto Rican
flag? That's the Puerto Rican flag. I was actually wondering that. I'm like,
let me see if the Dominican flag.
Puerto Rican. I forgot about that because I kind of was like, huh?
Republic. Yeah, that is definitely not a Dominican Republic flag. Yeah, yeah. That was weird. I don't know what was going on with that. But he suddenly had to leave in the middle of the night to fly out of the country. And he's like talking to his cat. He's like, hey, cat, I gotta go, buddy. And then he just gets killed. Which I do. Actually, that part of his character, I'm like, why do you didn't need to do that? He could have just been sitting on his ass at home with his.
Yeah, what was he? Why was he running away? Did he get tagged on some shit online or something, and that's why he got scared, or someone threatened him or something?
Well, you don't know, like, but I would have been perfectly fine if he was sitting on his couch eating ice cream and all of a sudden, like, you hear like glass break, and then in the kitchen he's like, what? Because he seemed like, you know, he had, as soon as he heard a noise, he had a baseball bat and he's like, hey, whoever's in here, you better show yourself. I ain't fucking around. I'm like, you could have easily done that. Him just sitting there watching. He's watching Real Housewives or something with his cat. And then John Carver comes in and kills him. That, like,
well, he knew someone was there because his passport, he just put it on the table. And then when he turned around, it was gone. And then he heard something. So he knew someone was in there.
Yeah. And then, okay.
And then was the mask there or not? Not this time. Because the killer kept doing that shit.
Yeah, he kept kind of like leaving his mask hanging around so people would discover it. No, I don't think it's... Oh, no, it was Tim Dillon. He gets a call from like a friend or maybe an Uber or someone. They're there to pick him up. They call him. They're I'm outside.
It's his friend, yeah.
And he looks out the window. He's like, I'll be there in a minute. And as soon as he turns around, his passport that was sitting on the table like a second ago is gone. And he's looking around. He's like, where the fuck did that go? And he goes in his bedroom, and then he comes back in the living room, and the John Carver mask is, like, sitting on the couch.
Yeah.
Which is a weird way to scare somebody.
Also, I'm like, does he have two masks? So he has one that's sitting there and then the one that's on his face?
Well, they do pay off that later, because later on in the movie, you see you're in the killer's lair, and he just has a stack of masks.
Yeah, that's right.
For some reason. And I'm just going to kind of go through my weird bullet points that I just scribbled down while I was in the movie. There was a scene where I think it was, what was her name? Jess. Jess is on her laptop. It may have been Gabby. Gabby or Jess. I think it was Jess. She's on a Mac. Mm-hmm. She's on like a MacBook Pro. And you can hear the sound of like a mouse clicking. Like it's a PC or something. I'm like, I own that same computer. There's none of that. I don't like that. I don't like weird sound effects added for effect. Actually, also, I want to point out the ADR in this movie was bad. I don't know if the theater didn't sync up the audio with the visual, like, correctly or something. But there were some scenes where people's voices sounded really off and weird. And it was clearly recorded. Like, the way people were talking, it's rather they were just bad actors.
I'm gonna go with that.
Or they, They just did one take when they were recording their 80-yard lines, and they just were like, yeah, that's good enough. And no one was like, maybe we should take a second take. That was, you sounded kind of weird there. You sounded like you were, like you've never acted before. Maybe we should do a second take. But that was a little distracting to me. And I will say, not... God, there was one scene where they all the kids get really suspicious and they go to the sheriff, and the sheriff's like, guys gotta... It was after they started getting posts on Instagram.
They kept getting tagged more and more with these photos.
And, they go to
the Thanksgiving table.
Yeah.
And the killer started adding like the heads of the people he's killed.
Right.
So he put Tim Dillon's head on there.
Lizzie's torso.
Lizzie from the diner.
And they go to the sheriff's. They're like, we're fucking freaked out. What are we going to do? And he's just like, all right, it's probably a good idea that you guys don't fucking trust anybody from this point on. And I was like, he's the killer. I was like, who says that? Also, I had a feeling he was the killer. In the very beginning of the movie, there's a very obvious Halloween homage where it's the front of a house. And it looks exactly like the beginning of Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
Where you see the perspective of somebody walking up to the house.
And you can hear the breathing.
And the music was kind of similar. And then he goes to, like, knock on the door. And then when the guy opens it, it's just Patrick Dempsey. He's like, oh, hey, I'm here for fucking Thanksgiving. And I was like, I could see why they would just be like, oh, isn't it fun just to do a kind of like a fake out? But I was like, I wonder if Patrick Dempsey's, because he was in his sheriff's like uniform. And I was like, I'm like, it's not like he's off duty and he went and put on a nice button up shirt to go to somebody's house. It's like he literally came from work in his sheriff uniform to somebody's house to eat dinner. But they did this like little fake out, this little Halloween fake out. And I'm like, you know what would be the best red herring? The sheriff. I'm like, I bet he's the sheriff. And as soon as they had the scene where he's like, remember, guys, don't trust anybody, I was like, yeah, it's him.
That's true. When you say it now, it all sounds so obvious. But at the time, I wasn't thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, also, by that point, they already set up Ryan, the fucking guy who's dating the fucking girl who used to be with Bobby, and Bobby's already at it. They already set up all these fishy people. Mm-hmm. They already set up all the red herrings of, like, what's this guy up to, and this guy, and there's, you know, there's, like, the guy who owns the son of a guy who owns a gun store in town, and he's, like, kind of a creepy weirdo, drives a van, who's, like, a metalhead, and they kind of, for a couple of scenes, they're like, that guy's a little suspicious. But I'm like, yeah, dude, killers don't use guns. That's Art the Clown Terrifier uses guns. Like no.
Not all the time, but he has very creative kills. But he uses a gun sometimes. He mixes it up.
I mean, that was very surprising. In Terrifier 1, when he pulls a gun out at the end. Because you're like, oh my god, this chick has got the drop on him, and she's gonna fucking fuck him up, and she's gonna be the final girl. And then he falls to one knee, and then he's surprised her by pulling a gun out and shoots her, and you're like, yes. Oh fuck.
A much better movie.
It was very good. They should have.
And he has a Christmas movie coming out too.
Damian Leone does have a Christmas film coming out.
Terrifier 3. 2024.
That's very exciting. We got to get the we got to find out when that's coming out.
I just said it.
Well, it's coming out December 2024. Did you say 2023 or 2024?
2024.
Oh my god, we got to wait a whole year.
He posted
year?
It.
Damn.
It's coming out either in like November or December 2024. But it's a holiday movie.
That's cool. Something to look forward to.
Definitely.
It's a whole year to hype it up. That's cool.
We need more horror Christmas movies.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think there's a lot to work with there. I think it'll be good until people just get sick of it and they're just like, oh my god, another.
I said it to my friend the other day. I was like, yes, we need more horror Christmas films. And they were like, do we really? And I was like, do we really need to be friends anymore?
Yeah, I don't think we do. I can get new friends.
You're no fun.
Let's see. Let's talk about some of the kills. Because just because there were a lot of kills, and I don't want to hit every beat of every character, because a lot of the characters are just there to be murdered. Mm-hmm. One of their friends was this European, I don't know, Eastern Bloc blonde girl who has like, I don't know who played her dad, but he looks like he's possibly an ex-boxer or MMA fighter or something like that. And he has a heavy, possibly Russian accent. And he shows up at the school. There's already people dying everywhere. And he shows up and he's like, we're going to Florida for some reason. We're going to fucking Florida right now. So they go to the house.
He was just scared for his family. He wanted to get the fuck out of there.
He's going to drive from Massachusetts to Florida to, you know, keep his daughter safe. And they get to the house and they're packing. And the John Carver character comes in. And there's like some fat cop there. There was a fat cop. And the Russian dad brings like, I don't know. It looked like
just him a plate or like, leftovers from things.
Like a fuckload of leftovers. He's like, here, you want this? We're going to Florida. And the guy's like, oh, yeah. And it's like some fat fucking deputy guy with a big mustache. That should have been Tim Dillon's fucking part. They should have sprinkled in that character a little bit more and got rid of the other guy.
Yeah.
And so.
And also the chick, the daughter was FaceTiming her boyfriend. She's dating the black guy that's like in the whole little high school crew.
And I should point out, like, yes, Patrick Dempsey, the sheriff in the movie, is the fucking killer at the end. But I thought it was weird that he assigned a cop to the European girl's house. It's like, you didn't have to do that. Then now you have one more person you have to kill, because that cop is there to like protect them. And now you have to show up and sneak in and kill them. But then, does he kill the fucking cop? Because he shoots the dad.
He kills both of them.
But he shoots him with a fucking, like, a sedative dart pistol.
The first one?
Like, the dad comes around the corner and he sees the cop on the ground. He's like, oh, hey, what the fuck happened to you? And then the fucking John Carver is like, pew, shoots him with a dart, hits him in the chest, and the dad goes down. And we see the dad on the ground, but I'm like, is he dead?
Oh, probably not, because the dad wasn't at the event. I think he's just trying to kill people that were at the Right Mart thing. He's just trying to, like, sedate the other people. Because he doesn't have it out for them.
Good. That's a very good point. I didn't even put that together, but that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Hmm. So, yeah, and he didn't kill the cat because the cat had nothing to do with it, so he let the cat.
The cat was there that night.
The cat. he was complicit. oh yeah, so the girl, you know, whose dad's like the Polish or Russian or whatever he is, when she gets killed, like, okay, so their whole big house is in the process of being remodeled, and
so it looks very Dexter with like
there's plastic everywhere and there's tools and shit and
saws, table saws and shit.
Yeah, and the I think it was the Jess girl, and what was the jock guy, the black fellow with the Letterman jacket.
I don't remember their name, but
well, he shows up. He has a gun. He ends up.
They show up there together. They show up together because they were on FaceTime and they know that there's a killer in the house. Yeah,
and he goes and gets a gun from the gun freak guy who's at a party. He's having a party for teenagers at his house for some reason. So they show up and they basically kind of sneak up on the John Carver guy, but he grabs the European girl, puts a knife to her fucking neck. And actually her name was Yulia instead of Julia. Her name was Yulia. Cause I remember the Jess was like, they killed Yulia. And the way she said it kind of made me laugh. But yeah, he basically has her at knife point, and they're, you know, the dude has a gun on her and he's like, let her go. And then
he's holding her hostage.
He basically turns on a table saw and just throws her, and she lands on top of the table saw, and it's pretty gross. Like, she goes to like put her hands out to stop her from falling, and it just chops through her hands, and then she falls and it just chops up her torso, and then her guts fall out.
It sounds a lot cooler when you describe it, but it was dumb as fuck.
It was kind of dumb. Like, the special effects were fine, but they were not set up great. Like, they could have had more impact if they were, I don't know, if they were, if the situation was, it seems silly.
It's very silly.
It seemed more silly than gory and grotesque.
Like, I didn't love the kills in this movie.
Yeah.
Because they were just, they just made no sense, and they were so, like, out there that it was like, okay. Yeah.
Now, like, something like The Green Inferno, I think Eli Roth, like...
I know he's, like, silly. He's, like, a silly guy, but...
Like, there was, like, silly shit in The Green Inferno, but... The gore, I was like,
but it at least the made gore, sense.
I thought was great.
No,
it made more
that,
sense.
Yeah, that movie was way, 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 way better. This one was like, come on, but it was. It's supposed to be a fucking joke.
It is supposed to be a joke, and I tried to keep that in mind. This is not supposed to be a serious slasher film. It's supposed to be goofy. I would like to
talk about those people that were pissing us off next to us. Can we talk about that for a second?
Okay. We were sitting in, and it's not even a big theater. It's like a fairly small theater.
There was probably like 20 people total in the whole theater. Maybe if, not if even that.
Not even that.
Not a lot of people were going to see this movie. It's it's a Saturday night, but no one was really trying to go see that.
And next to us,
we're basically sitting a couple chairs down.
We're sitting in the middle of an aisle, and then like the people sitting on the end of the aisle, which was probably like three seats away from me to my left, was this kid who looked like Logan Paul. You know, he had like a shitty TikToker haircut.
Yeah, these three young teenage TikTok ass boys.
And they were, and I didn't even notice it until the very end. One of their dads was there. This sort of like bald middle aged man wearing glasses and like a fleece vest.
Yeah, so apparently the dad took these three pieces of shit to the movies.
And they were basically talking the whole time. Now,
oh, they started talking in the beginning of the fucking movie, and I was about to be like, shh. But I was like, okay, let me not be a fucking Karen, whatever. They're teenagers. Just, like, let them do their thing. But they would not shut the fuck up the whole movie. And then they were just getting worse and worse. Like, I think one of them turned their fucking phone on all loud. They were, like, making noises on the chair, putting it up and down because, like, the chair sounded like it was farting. And it's like, okay. It's funny for, like, the first time or, like, before the movie. But during the movie, shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting fucking pissed over there.
Yeah, and then I scared them horribly.
The movie wasn't good enough to fucking yell at them.
Yeah.
We were talking about this later. If it was, like... some Academy Award movie, I would have fucking told him, shut the fuck up.
I would have threw your iced tea at them.
But since it was a shitty movie, there's not really a lot of people in the theater. I was like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, so...
wasn't worth
it. At one point, I turn the flashlight on my phone, and I just shine it at them. Now, getting hit with someone's phone flashlight in a pitch black room... and you don't expect it, and it's, you know, let's say 6 feet away from you, it's startling.
You said, like, are you good or some shit?
They look like deer in headlights. They look terrified. And then I was like, hey, are you feeling okay? Are you feeling okay? I said it, like, five times in a row because I knew the more I said it, the more disturbing the situation would get because there's just a light in their eyes, and I'm like... are you feeling okay? Are you feeling okay? Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, you're pretty good at being creepy.
Are you feeling okay?
So, mission accomplished.
Yeah. And I didn't. And that's about how I said it too. I didn't like raise my voice. I said it like kind of
in your serial killer voice.
In my serial killer overly calm voice,
which is your regular speaking voice.
And what happened? They looked terrified. The dad got up and left the theater. He like ran out of the theater
because he didn't want to get some either.
He wasn't trying to fucking.
He's like, I'm too old for this hands. Shit.
And then it was like, and then the movie ends and the kid tries to get up and run out. So he goes down the side stairs and tries to cut across the full length of the theater to get to the other exit. I'm already stood up and he's like looking at me and I'm just like not blinking, not breaking eye contact with him. And I start walking in the direction that he's walking, and he, like, stops. He's almost running. He's, like, jogging towards the thing, and he realizes that we're both going to end up getting to the exit at similar times. So he like stops, turns around, and runs in the other direction.
And I was looking at him. I was dying.
It felt good. It feels good to just scare people for no reason in the dark.
Oh, there was a reason.
I could see why people want to be slasher killers in
movies.
What
pissed me off, I'm like, if that was my fucking dad or one of my parents taking me to the movie theater, they would have whooped my ass. They would have been like, shut the fuck up during this movie.
Yeah.
But he just let them do it. And one of them, I think they hit their vape pen. And he was like coughing all loud. And then they were like laughing. And yeah. Just being fucking made me feel like an old married couple. It's like these goddamn kids.
Yeah, they're just young people who don't understand respect. But I think after tonight, they will
maybe think twice.
I think they'll think twice because we were like for a second
crazy guy with the light
for a second because I was like there are a bunch of like teenage kids and I didn't see the dad come in. So when I hit the light, I see this like middle aged man sitting next to them, and I thought he was just some dude. Mm-hmm. But when he got up and ran out, and then when we left, we saw that dude was already standing outside, and the kids ran up to him, and I'm like, oh, that's the kid's dad. And the dad was so embarrassed.
As possibly, he should be.
Possibly terrified, and he was like, maybe, he's like, oh, no, he saw the flashlight. He thought maybe it was attached to an AR-15 or something. So he just he just abandoned his son in the theater. Which is a good move because that like, kid is not going to grow up to be anything good. No, I'm sure he's a great kid.
That whole scenario was more interesting than the movie.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to lead with that, but.
Oh, yeah. At one point, like a bunch of the fucking kids get killed. I want to point out there's one where one of the jock guys gets his cheerleader girlfriend is like, come here, let's go be naughty in this like in the gym where no one's around.
No, that wasn't the jock guy, that was the PE teacher.
Yeah, whatever. And he's
it makes a difference because he's an adult having sex with a high school student.
Well, he was the guy from the previous year who was beefing with Bobby.
Oh.
So that guy literally just graduated high school, and now he works at the fucking school.
Okay, so he wasn't super old. Well, the actor was, like, old as fuck.
He was 53 years old, and he was playing a 19-year-old. But, yeah, he's like, ooh, come with me to the fucking dark gym, and there's, like, a trampoline in there, and she starts, like, jumping around the trampoline, and the killer's underneath it, and... Like
she's showing her ass. And
yeah,
stuff.
He like sticks a knife through it, and then she bounces down on the knife, which I was like, "Ooh, okay, that's fucked up."
This is what pissed me off. Like in the trailer, or I saw some video. I think it was the trailer. Like I don't know if it's like the unedited version or something, but she like shows her tits and everything, and then
that's in the original Grindhouse trailer.
Okay.
For Thanksgiving,
how come they didn't show that in the movie?
That's why I brought it up because that's. That was a better version, and it was a better version in the fake trailer because she pulls her tits out, she's jumping up and down, and then she does the splits,
midair, and then she
and
goes
falls
on the knife.
Straight on the knife.
Yeah, I was like, why was that not in the movie?
It should have been.
If you're gonna make a ridiculous movie, you have to have gore, tits, and da da da. There was no tits in the movie, actually. Right? Yeah,
that would have made the fucking theater jump of like you.
It's like idiotic teenage boys are going to be watching this
doing
movie.
The splits onto a fucking knife. Like, that's rather disturbing. Oh, also,
yeah, they left out the best part of the movie.
So many people get killed that, you know, they take the surviving characters back home and the police are there and they're like, and the girl's like, we need to figure out, you know what? We need to figure out what to do. We can't live the rest of our lives in fear. We have to go after this guy. And like, the sheriff's like, oh, you know what? Let's use you guys after the parade, the Thanksgiving parade. We can use you guys as bait, basically, because all the floats go and get driven into this like warehouse just off the parade route. And we can basically, me and all the cops will hide and you guys roll in on your float. The killer will probably be there to get you guys, but maybe we can set up a trap where we're hidden in the warehouse. And when the killer comes in, we get him. And I was like, that plan doesn't make any sense. The sheriff is definitely the killer now. And he's just like, all right, see you guys in the morning. And then all the cops leave. And I'm I'm like,
that was
these weird. People are in danger. They're getting killed. Like, also, they're not the girl safe anywhere.
Is the one that came up with the plan. I'm like, why is this like teenage girl telling the police what to do? And they're like, okay, boss, that's the plan for tomorrow. I was like, what?
And then they're like, all right, boys, let's get out of here. I'm like, you're not going to leave at least one cop behind. You left a cop behind at the
also, why are the cops leaving before the kids?
I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense. It's like, so everyone's just leaving the police station. And you're just leaving the kids there to talk. It's like the kids should leave first. The police have to like fucking close up and shit. Like what?
I don't know. Made
no goddamn sense.
Well, okay. Let's see. Oh, we need to talk about the stepmom. The stepmom who's married to the owner of the Right Mart.
Mm-hmm.
Who's, I mean, she's just some fucking kind of, she's just a middle-aged white woman, you know, like, I don't even know how to describe her. She's kind of just a basic bitch, like an Ugg boot fucking kind of gold digger-ish. But it seems like she actually loves the dad. Like, it seems like they have like a real relationship.
She cares about the dad. She doesn't care about the daughter.
They haven't connected, and the daughter's definitely, it like doesn't want to get to know her. So the feelings are sort of mutual. So I'm like, okay, that makes sense. That feels like a real
thing. They tried to establish that the mom is just selfish and cunty.
Yeah, but
how come you're not dressed up for Thanksgiving or something? And like,
I feel like they tried to make her seem cunty, but then they sort of gave up on it. So the stepmom ends up getting abducted. And she gets she's taken to the killer's lair,
mm-hmm.
and she wakes up on a table, and there's like carrots and celery. There's a nice mirepoix, a very like around her on the table, and the killer, like she opens her eyes and can see the killer's like working. He has like a little kitchen set up, and she's like, "What the fuck?" And then when he turns around, she just like closes her eyes and lays back down, and he's like brushing butter on her and like salt. And pepper, and putting sprigs of parsley on it. You're like, oh, this can't end well.
I was like,
that does sound good. And then she tries to get away. That didn't work. And
well, she ends up jumping. She gets up off the table when he goes to like get something. He comes back and she's gone. And she ends up going in this other room and.
Which we don't even need to explain because it's like she tried to get away. It didn't work.
Well, she realized there was like other. There was like some other bitch in the freezer. The Russian chick was like in the fridge and all that shit.
And this, okay, she ends up, okay, that's the thing is like they establish after he brushed her with butter and mulled and salt and parsley that he has this huge oven in the room.
Human size oven.
And he goes over there and he like takes his mask off and sets it on top of the oven. And the mask starts to fucking like sizzle and melt on the fucking oven. So it's like, okay, the thing is hot. The thing is fucking really hot. And then that
I felt like they were trying to do a Chucky thing there.
Well, I thought okay, he put the mask back on and now it's kind of like half melted. Kind of has like stroke face.
It just made me think of Chucky.
And I'm like, okay, cool. To me, I was like, that's a merchandising decision. Because at some point, I'm sure someone in a meeting was like, we should have the regular John Carver mask. And then we can have the melted version. We can sell two masks. Well,
I feel like there's a lot of movies where, like, the character, it's like their face is kind of, like, altered. Like, in Chucky, that happened when
Michael Myers
version.
Yeah, you know, after he got set on fire, it's like now Terminator, it's the burnt mask.
Terminator, when he's all fucking burnt up.
Sure. You kind of see that, though.
Like, they just, that happens in a lot of movies. So I was kind of like, oh, but here's the
thing here's the thing that's fucking weird. They establish that the oven's hot, okay? Mm-hmm. She wakes up while he's distracted. She tries to escape. Doesn't work. He knocks her out. And when she wakes back up, she wakes up in the oven. But the oven's not on. She wakes up. She's like, And then she realizes, like, oh, fuck. I'm locked inside of a fucking oven. And then he turns it on. And then she begins to fucking cook. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. That fucking oven was on already. Like, she wouldn't just wake up and be like, what's going on? Oh, my. I am stuck in an oven. And then he like appears in the window of the oven and he turns it on. He fires it up and then it cooks her. The oven was off.
And continuity error.
Bad continuity there. That's not good at all.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, that bothered me. That bothered me a lot. Another thing I thought was weird was we have our, what was it? It was the dad, the Reitmart dad, Black Jock, and Jess girl. Mm-hmm. They all get into, like, the parade happens, and then, like, the killer is dressed like a clown, and he kills, like, the mascot of the parade, who's, like, a turkey.
Which I was looking at him sideways, because it's, like, it's a Thanksgiving parade, and then someone was dressed like a clown. I was like,
no one thought that was weird.
No, yeah. I thought it was weird. I was like, the clown stood out to me.
Yeah. What I'm saying is no one at the parade thought, like, that's weird.
Yeah.
And they cut off the head. Everyone starts freaking out. And then the clown starts throwing, like, concussion grenades and smoke bombs. You know, things that a law enforcement person would have. Mm-hmm. And it's just causing chaos. And, like, everyone gets into the car. And then he comes over to the car and he throws a concussion grenade into the fucking car. It goes boom. And while everyone in the back seat is distracted, he comes in and shoots all three of them in the chest with a knockout dart and steals the police. This is a police SUV they're in, by the way. And I was like, you can't track a police SUV if someone steals it?
Didn't know that he stole it.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm like, you can't track that? It seems like you could track that. There's a radio in it. The internet is in that. It seems as traceable, because later on they're like, we need to find out where the killer is, and they wait for him to start live streaming, because, you know, once he gets all the people he needs to be around the table, he's going to fucking kill him, and he's going to live stream it on the internet. I was like, wait a minute, the fucking police SUV that he stole is just as traceable.
But they don't know he's in a police SUV.
But somebody would have noticed that a police SUV in a tiny town just went missing. But nobody did, which I was like, that's kind of weird. There should have been...
Well, maybe they weren't checking for it yet because there was a lot of chaos going on.
If there was a scene where they're like, we found the vehicle, but it was abandoned, like, I think that would have, you know, just one line where they're like, did you find the SUV? They're like, or is anyone in it? Are they alive? They're like, everyone's gone and the vehicle's abandoned. It's like, ooh. And then, like, maybe they... It's like, maybe the police hit a dead end kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it could have just been one single line of dialogue that, like, I think that could have tightened that up a little bit. But what is it? So once he gets the dad and his daughter.
He does lead them to a fake.
He gets both the jock football player guys.
But remember, he does lead them to a fake place. The live stream.
Yeah, it's a trick. The live stream comes up on Instagram, and then the police track the live stream. But when they get there, it's just a phone looking at a screen, a computer screen
of the live stream
of the real room that they're all tied up in. So it's the dad, the daughter, the two jocks. Tim Dillon's severed head, the dead diner waitress. They are all now streaming live on the internet, and the killer's gonna kill all of them. And he has like a voice modulator to disguise his voice. And he's like,
and he brings out the turkey.
He brings out the turkey, which I need to point out, which is the stepmom. And it does not look nearly as good as the one in the original trailer. Because the one in the original trailer, it just looks like a fucking a stripper doing some kind of odd pose who's overly tan or something with like a thermometer in their asshole. Do you remember it?
I forgot about the thermometer in the asshole. That's why I started laughing.
Yeah. I mean, they did have some kind of callbacks to the original trailer. Like the dad.
Yeah, which was all twisted up like a fucking turkey and all like glazed.
The dad is gagged with like a rope in his mouth and he like vomits through the fucking rope. But I was like, the turkey doesn't look nearly as good as the one in the fucking...
Can I note that you were about to take your mom to see this movie for Thanksgiving?
It's true. I was going
to
take my
mom. I was literally thinking, I'm really glad that we didn't bring your mom to see this fucking movie.
Yeah, my mom was supposed to be here this morning, but her flight got delayed. I actually have to go pick her up at 12:30 tonight. So I have to go to the airport and go pick her up. And but here's the... Here's the actual, the original one. This is great. This is the dead turkey scene. I think he's like fucking the head.
Thanksgiving. You'll come home for the holidays in a body bag.
He's fucking the severed head, so that was probably Tim Dillon's head.
Jesus Christ.
I wonder if that was pitched to Eli Roth, or to Tim Dillon, rather, that way, where they're like, you're going to be in an Eli Roth horror movie, we're going to cut your head off, and then in the movie's finale, the killer's going to fuck your severed head. He's like, I'm in! I'm in. Where do I sign? Yes or yes?
The turkey looks so funny, though. It's just like some bitch that's like laying on her back. With, like, her legs, like, together. Like, I can't even explain it.
It looks so good in the fake trailer. I mean, like, look how good that looks. That's how it should have looked. It's so horrifying and hilarious.
The thermometer is actually in the vagina.
It's in the... Yeah, it is in the vagina.
There's something else coming out of her butt.
It's probably stuffing, I would imagine.
Wait, let me look at it.
I mean, it's hilarious. It's brilliant.
Oh my god. Do you think that's a real person? That's just painted up like that?
It could be. I mean, it looks anatomically very correct. Like, you could have just did a really fucked up, like, tan on somebody and then just tied him up long enough to do the...
Who would play the part of that turkey? I mean,
there's people out there who'll, you know...
You pay me enough, I'll fucking do it, but...
Sure. I mean...
Interesting.
That was a scene that I was like... It's already been established in the 2007 Grindhouse trailer, and I think...
Damn, that was from 2007?
Yes, this has been a long time coming. And I think it kind of fell short.
Shit's making me feel old as fuck tonight.
Yeah. And let me see.
Yeah. Basically, the trailer was a lot better than the execution.
Oh, I do want to point out. I do want to point out before the parade. Okay, so people are already getting killed, and everyone's like, we need to go through with the parade for some reason. I don't know why. They're like, we all need to dress up like pilgrims and be on the Reitmarkt parade. Mm-hmm. The guy who's like the weird metalhead guy whose dad owns the gun store, mm-hmm. he hands her a ring and says, take this for good luck. It was my dad's when he was in the military. And yeah. She's like, thank you. She takes it and puts it on because, of course, you know, most men's rings will just fit a high school girl's finger somehow. So she puts it on. So in the scene
she
where...
She put it around two of her fingers.
Oh. It's... So the scene where they're all tied up around this dinner table about to get killed by the killer, somehow she figures out that this ring is secretly a knife.
Well, it has like a little button and a little like,
and a little fucking pointy tiny dagger like appears out of it, and she uses
like a switchblade kind of a thing, but it's very short.
Yeah, and she uses it to cut the ropes. That's another thing. I was like,
hands are tied by.
I was like, a cop who's a serial like a slasher killer isn't going to tie people up with ropes. He's going to use zip ties. Because he's already using, like, police, like, concussion grenades and smoke bombs. He's got tranquilizer darts. And so it's like, he's going to use zip ties. Because he knows that people can get out of ropes. Zip ties, it's like, once those are on, you're just not getting out of those. It's like the human hands, wrists, and arms are not strong enough to pop those things off.
Movie.
Because movie.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
Doesn't look as cool.
Knife ring. Maybe they were hoping that would be like a cool merch idea. We can sell knife rings.
Merch?
Yeah. Kind of merchandise. Merchandise.
Not for this type of movie. This isn't Star Wars. This is.
It's more like Spaceballs.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. We'll go home for the holidays in a body bag. We also get a scene where once the killer is revealed, which it's the sheriff, Sheriff Patrick Dempsey, the final girl realizes it's him.
She recognized his shoes.
Well, he had these little foxtails, those little burrs from like the bushes. Because she had them all stuck in her pants and her shoes, and then saw that he had the same ones. And she was like, oh shit, you're the killer.
Because he was just chasing her outside and chased her up the fence, and she like jumped over and her jewelry, her like bracelet charm got bracelet stuck on the fucking fence.
Yeah.
And he realizes that she realizes that he's the killer.
Yeah.
And so she like looks all scared, and I think he just kind of knew by that look that she figured it out. And then he's like, what does he say? Something about her bracelet. Something about your bracelet stuck on the fence.
Yeah, well, she says, and I was like, I don't know. I was like too dumbfounded to roll my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, why are you doing this? I was like, really? Why are you doing this? I was like, that's what they all say. You know, that's such a thing in movies like this. Where the killer is revealed, and it turns out it's somebody that everyone trusted, and somebody has to say, why are you doing this?
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. It's just, it's too on the nose, you know what I mean?
Well, what is she supposed to say?
I don't know. but she's like, why are you doing this? And of course we get the scene where the killer explains why he's doing this. And the reason why Sheriff Patrick Dempsey is going through all this trouble to do a Thanksgiving version of Saw, basically, is because he was in love with the guy in the beginning of the movie who worked at Rite Mart. He was in love with Gina Gershon, the lady who got her head smashed with a
register. The way you just worded that made it sound like he was in love with the guy. He's in love with the woman that got
I'm explaining that. I just said Gina Gershon. I don't know how that's confusing.
Mm-hmm.
He was in love with Gina Gershon. She got her head smashed with a shopping cart, and then she got her scalp ripped off, and that killed her somehow. And he saw her die. And when he saw her die, like, he was in love with her, and that broke his heart. And it's all because, and that wouldn't have happened if these kids didn't get into the store early to do their shopping to buy a phone, which is something, I guess.
And then cause the angry mob.
Cause the angry mob to break down the doors and cause the fucking riot. Like, if they weren't in there,
then it wouldn't have happened.
It wouldn't have happened, I guess. And that was his motive for doing all this. And that was Thanksgiving 2023. Thanksgiving, directed by Eli Roth.
I want my money back.
Well, it was my money.
I want your money back.
Yes, yeah. So I'm currently looking at the all-knowing, all-powerful Rotten Tomatoes, which is owned by Warner Brothers, and it's none of these ratings are actually real.
Fuck Rotten Tomatoes.
I've already covered this on my the Andrew Callahan, whatever his name is, the there's a Channel 5 news guy, his This Place Rules documentary. I already went into deep detail how all of these ratings are, for the most part, false and not real. Thanksgiving, currently on Rotten Tomatoes, holds an 83% on the tomato meter with 86 reviews. and it has an audience score of 81%.
Okay, then they'll be like Blade Runner, 27%.
Blade Runner, 0%. Nobody has reviewed this movie yet. Yeah.
I hate Rotten Tomatoes. I don't listen to fucking reviews at all.
Now, I kind of want to be on...
like mainstream
reviews. I want to be on Eli Roth's side. Like, going into this movie, I was just like, man, I hope this is, like, at least kind of... I hope it's a strong C+. Like, I was really rooting for him. And because I'm like, you know what? He does decent gore. You know, the fucking Hostel. I was like, okay, Cabin Fever. I was, you know, that's disgusting.
Yeah. And you know, Green Inferno,
totally disgusting. I was like, okay, this guy understands what will fucking just make people's fucking just skin crawl, which is gore. Because, you know, when I see an Eli Roth movie, I'm like, I'm going to see gore. Like, other movies, I don't really need to see gore.
Yeah, it's going to be gory. It's supposed to have, like, some funny elements to it. It's supposed to be comedic.
You're
going to
have some stereotypical characters. You're going to have the jock. You're going to have the dumb girl.
The typical recipe.
Yeah, and I'm like, and I was, boobs. I was all about that, and all of, I was expecting that going into this. I was like, I want dumb jocks. I want the nerd guy. I want there to be a high school party. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, I wanted all that. And I was like, and everyone's going to start getting killed. And then the killer's revealed. Why are you doing this? And then, you know, like all of that, I'm fine with. That formulaic horror movie bullshit. Yeah. I'm there for it. And I came out for this and I was like, the gore didn't wow me. The kills didn't blow my hair back. I kind of appreciate that there was somewhat of a high body count, but I just didn't care.
I didn't like the kills at all.
I wasn't a huge fan of the kills. I just feel like there was just a lot for the sake of just having a lot of kills.
I feel like the acting was bad and the kills just made no sense.
I feel like the killer's motive wasn't great. I was like, that's why you went crazy and you went through this elaborate fucking plan.
Because you were in love with a 60-year-old woman. Because
you were in love with some other guy's wife and you saw her die and that made you go crazy. I was like...
I know, so fucking dumb.
And you were able to keep that under wraps for an entire year. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like somebody at the police station would have been like, y'all right, bro? I noticed you kind of just staring off in the distance sometimes. You know, he's just like, no, everything's fine. It's like, okay. He's just smiling Patrick Dempsey. And I feel like the actors, it was a very much a mixed bag. Like, there were some, like, really good actors in this, and there were some ones I was just like, I feel like Tim Dillon wasn't utilized to his full potential. You know, I think he could have been in the movie more. I mean, I and that's the whole thing. As I'm like a Thanksgiving slasher film, like yes, totally, I'm down, and then we get one, and I'm like,
I wouldn't rewatch it.
I wouldn't rewatch it either. I can't say I can recommend Thanksgiving.
Me either.
I had high expectations, and I really wanted to be on Eli Roth's side. I was, because I already know people were just being like, oh, brother, a Thanksgiving slasher movie. How dumb. Like, who gives a shit? I've been like, well, I give a shit. I'm going to go. I'm going to pay money and go fucking see it and scare children in the fucking theater. And then, but I was just really underwhelmed. And then the credits hit at the end of the movie. And it's the Misfits Where Eagles Dare is playing, which seems kind of jarring because there wasn't like any, it just seemed really out of place to have like a random Misfits song come out of nowhere.
Yeah, and then earlier there was some trailer where they were playing Black Sabbath, but it was all like slowed down. Remember? And you were like, don't do that.
It was for Napoleon.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Ridley Scott's Napoleon starring Joaquin Phoenix, and it's showing all these battle scenes because it's fucking Napoleon. It's a Napoleon movie, and it's just like... they did the, like, it's like a Jordan Peele movie where they take a song, they slow it down. It's like, And it's all echoey. It's on. Generals gathering in their masses. Ding, ding, piano or something whispery sounding. And I'm like, why am
slowed
I hearing?
Slowed down and reverbed.
They actually mentioned Black Sabbath in Thanksgiving.
I know.
Which was weird. Like, yeah, the metalhead guy. Why did he even bring that up? He was mentioning, like, Ozzy left Sabbath and then Ronnie James Dio.
He was
Dio.
Using it as, like, an analogy, and the kid's like, who's Black Sabbath? And he's like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, he's like, get the fuck off
he
my property.
He was like, no virgins allowed.
Oh, yeah, and then he took a fucking, like, a solo cup and just threw it at the kid's face, which I was like.
That was probably the best part of the movie, to be honest.
It was. I was like, I wonder how many takes it took for that guy to just throw, to chuck that cup, and it just hit the kid square in the face perfectly.
Also, yeah. I was thinking there's probably a lot of Gen Z kids that watch that movie, and they're probably like, oh, I have to look up who Black Sabbath is now, because I don't want to.
That is the best part of the movie.
To me.
Yeah, you have to, one, you have to know who Black Sabbath is. You have to know why Ozzy left and went solo, and then you have to know that the Black Sabbath got Ronnie James Dio to sing for Sabbath for a bunch of albums. Which is probably good because, I mean, one of my favorite Sabbath albums is the Heaven and Hell album. It's really good. And, I recommend Black Sabbath. I recommend
I
Ronnie
like
James
Sabbath,
Dio.
Bloody Sabbath.
But Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath. Mob Rules. The Dio sang on that, and he sang on Heaven and Hell. I definitely recommend that. I guess I can recommend The Misfits. If you're a teenager, you should listen to
it. It's turned
into
a music review.
It's now a music review. I'm reviewing the music in the movie. The Misfits are cool. Sometimes you feel like you kind of, like, The Misfits is like,
you grew out of it.
Yeah. But then you hear it and you're like, oh, this still slaps. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of that music is still slaps. It's just I'm not in my, like, crazy stage anymore, so I'm not like,
yeah,
this is the coolest fucking thing ever.
Yeah, it had its time to completely wow me, but
yeah,
some people are like way into the Misfits, like way too
like long. I'm not listening to the Misfits like I just heard about it yesterday and I'm like, oh my god, this is like life-changing.
Yeah, they're not a, I don't think they're a life-changing band when you're like 15. That's not life-changing when you're like 40.
Like, it's I don't know, when you see like a really young person that's like hella rocking out to it, I'm like, good for you, but also, like, I remember my first beer kind of thing.
I don't know. Is there any band from your childhood that just, like, held up over time?
I would really have to think about that.
Like,
I mean, I still love Sabbath. I'm just not, like, getting hella juice every time I hear it.
It's always, like, random bands that I'm still, like fired up about. Like,
I guess one thing that came to my head is Leftover Crack.
Yeah.
When I hear it, I still get excited.
It's pretty energetic music.
I mean, even though obviously I'm not like that angry, you know, listening to that all the time. But
there's a lot.
But I like the energy.
There's a lot of fun.
And it's just fun.
Cheekiness to it.
Yeah. I just like the energy.
I kind of feel that way about like Poison Idea. I was listening to there's this like oi band from New York called the Templars that I was obsessed with in the 90s. Like, I was working on the next episode of Skeleton Factory and I was just like, I need to take a break, and I just looked up like live Templar shows,
and it was still giving you life.
It was good. It was like, I watched like a concert from like 95, and then I watched one from 2003, which is when I saw them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw one from like 2022, and they're all fucking old and shit. And
remember we put on, because I like
good.
Shuffled my library the other day, and like Cox Bar came on, and then you were like, oh, I want to hear
I still get fired up for Cox Bar. That's still a really good band.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it just has.
And then it makes me go down the rabbit hole, and I'm like, oh no, I want to hear Sham 69, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess certain songs, I'll get like excited, but some are just, to me, I've heard it so many times that I'm not like getting that amped to hear it. Like, I got your number. It's like, okay, it's a great song. It's a great fucking song, but I just heard it so many times.
Yeah. Not every song can be a mother or something, you know?
Even that one, it's like,
bro, you don't get fired up every time you hear mother. I'm just like, fuck yeah.
It's like when it comes on at a bar, it's like every fucking stereotypical guy's like, yeah, I love this song.
I know.
Shut up. Like, I just get annoyed when other people get excited.
Yeah, and I can't stand other people's happiness. It makes me sick.
Yeah, that's really what makes me sick.
Is other people's happiness.
It does.
It has, like, nothing to do with Danzig. Danzig is not trying to be happy. He's all about being fucking just dark and miserable. It's great.
I think what annoys me is that the people that are getting all excited about it, they just know that song.
Yeah, it's like...
It's like, shut up.
Like, they know Mother... I don't know. They probably don't know what album it's from. They don't know it's from Danzig 1. And maybe they know...
To be fair, I don't fucking know everything about Danzig or anything like that.
Maybe they've heard of How the Gods Kill. I like How the Gods Kill. I like Danzig 2. Lucifuge. That's why Danzig got fat, because he eats too much Lucifuge.
Ew.
That's a good album. But anyways, Thanksgiving does not get a recommendation.
Thanksgiving.
Sorry, Eli Roth. Maybe.
Try again.
Yeah, keep trying. You know, I think he's, I think he's got talent and everything. And I enjoy his enthusiasm. I love listening to him talk about movies. It's just like, that guy just knows. He's like listening to Tarantino. That guy knows everything. Yeah. Just has like just autistic level of just functional. He can just pull shit out of it. And you can hear the enthusiasm in his voice. Like every time he talks about like Lucio Fulci or Dario Argento or something, like he's super fired up about it. And
he's pretty knowledgeable. I love films.
Hearing that. I think Rob Zombie might be. I think I like listening to him talk about movies more than even Tarantino and Roger Avery.
Tarantino, after all, gets fucking annoying, to be honest.
His voice is a little annoying.
Can't imitate his voice.
I think Rob Zombie just has a much more like soothing voice.
Rob Zombie just is like way more likable to me. I'm like, I want to hang out with him. I want to be him.
Yeah.
And I just relate to him more. Like, he's very relatable. You just want to, like, smoke weed with him and
he lives in, like, Connecticut now. Like, him and Sherry Moon Zombie live in, like, some tiny, tiny town in the middle of nowhere. They have, like, this little fucking badass house.
All these directors, there's things that you can make fun of them about. Like, I know people, give shit on Rob Zombie because they're like, his fucking wife's in every movie. But I don't know. For him, it works for me. It doesn't really bother me personally, but.
Yeah, there's so much care and love. And, like, he puts a real signature on all of his movies. He's not trying to, he's not trying to be like anyone else. He's not like Tarantino. Like, Tarantino just deliberately steals shit. But he's self-aware that he's stealing shit, so that makes it kind of okay, because you're like, you take something that already exists and you give it a different spin. You change the context of what it is. But Rob Zombie, he kind of does that, but his is a little more, he muddles his influences a little bit more. He mushes it together a little bit more thoroughly.
I can see why people kind of shit on him, because like, I guess his movies, they're predictable in that Sherry Moon Zombie is going to be in it. You know there's going to be some kind of like redneck fucking killer in it.
It's going to be filled with character actors from movies from the 70s. People are going to
be using very interesting string of curse words.
But I like those things.
So for me, I don't care. But if those things aren't for you, then, Rob Zombie movies aren't for you.
Yeah. I feel the same way. We got a beautiful Devil's Reject poster.
Beautiful.
A promo poster, like original, from Lionsgate.
And there's a couple of his films that I don't really care for, but I like the main ones.
What was that? We were watching... We were watching the making of Halloween, his first Halloween movie. And they were all, like, sitting in some office. Like, he was, like, talking with some of his production people. And on the wall was that exact poster.
That's right, yeah.
And I started jumping up and down and clapping my hands. And I think I may have soiled myself also.
Oh, wow.
And you can see why. It's a really cool poster. It is. Well, guys, we're going to get going. I got to pick up Mom from the airport. and take her to her timeshare, and we have brunch reservations in the morning. But I want to wish everybody a healthy and safe and fun Thanksgiving. And I guess we'll I guess you'll hear from me on episode 73 of Skeleton Factory, which I've been taking my sweet time on, but it's going to be good. I'm going to be reviewing the Paul Bartel movie Eating Raoul, which is a very fun comedy. And then I'm going to be doing a bunch of documentaries. I'll be doing My Best Fiend, the Werner Herzog documentary. We Once Were Kids, a documentary about the where are they now? The people who were in the movie Kids, the Larry Clark film, and also, what was the other one? Oh, yes, Love, Charlie, a documentary about famous Chicago chef Charlie Trotter. He was a trailblazer, groundbreaking Michelin star chef throughout the 90s and 2000s, and then he ended up dying of a stroke. It's very sad. A lot of sad documentaries, but sometimes, you know, that happens in real life. Sad things happen.
No one said life was going to be easy.
No one said it was going to be a fucking free ride, you know? So you guys have that to look forward to on episode 73 of Skeleton Factory. Well, thanks again for listening, guys. If you're not already following me on Instagram, I'm at skeleton_factory. I'm on Twitter, also known as X, at SF Podcast ATX. And if you're in Austin on the 21st of this month, it's just in a few days, I'll be at Tweety's Bar doing my horror and cult film trivia night. It starts at 7 and it runs until 9. There'll be two games, one at 7 and one at 8. And I do have prizes available for that. Let's see. One prize will be a Criterion Collection copy of Man Bites Dog and a nice sealed copy of the... Let me grab it. It's over here on the shelf. The special edition copy of the Todd Phillips documentary Hated, G.G. Allen and the Murder Junkies. So, if you come to Tweety's Bar at 2908 Fruit Street here in Austin and you play the trivia game, you have a chance of winning one of those two or even both of those movies. All right, guys. I will check you all on the next one. Thanks for joining me, Vanessa. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.